Abby.
And I'm Allie.
And it's
About Time for True Crime.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
I am recovering from last week.
Fair.
My head, heart, and soul took a little bit of a beating.
Yeah.
But I wanted to say well done because that was an excellent series and I felt a lot of things.
Well, thank you. It was disgusting and awful and terrible.
We laughed. We cried.
We cried.
We supported our ATFTC fam, and that's what else can you ask for, you know?
Yeah. How's your week been since?
You know, just chilling.
Yeah, hanging out.
Here in New England, if you guys didn't know, Abby and I are located in the Northeast.
Yes.
And our days are, like, longer.
Oh, it's so nice.
Which it's such a... It helps your mood so much.
It does.
That we're recording here and it's 7:30 and it's not pitch blackout is
amazing.
Amazing. And to know that it's going to keep getting better and to know that it's going to keep staying lighter out longer just makes me even more happy.
And there's little birds and you're finally getting like the smell of summer and plants coming back to life. Like it's so nice.
We had our first little bloom outside. Yeah. We have these little like purple flowers.
Cute.
And we had one bloom and I was like, oh, hey, little guy, what's going on?
I was out in the woods, as I am frequently.
Always.
And I saw a bunch of little sprouts, and I was just watering them with my little water bottle. I was like, keep it up, guys.
You can do it.
Reach for the sun.
Yep, that's all we can do, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I get it. I too, am like a plant. I just have emotional, like, complex emotions. But I mostly just need sun and water and, like, fertilizer.
See, I'm much like a succulent because it's supposed to be easy, right?
That's a lie.
You're like, you don't need much. You're supposed to be low maintenance. You're small, petite. This should be manageable. And then all of a sudden, you just fucking have a fit. Or yeah. Like...
And you look over, you water it for 1 second, and you look over, and it's just dead. And you're like, well...
Or... You didn't water it because you're like, I wasn't supposed to. And then it's dead. Or you go to look for it and you're like, where is it? Oh, my cat hid it somewhere in the house.
I do remember that. Yes.
I never found it.
Well, where did it go?
I don't know. Ask Mia.
Bean.
Mia Bean.
Anyway.
She's not going to tell me, but.
I know. Her lips are sealed.
She said, not today. She said, no, auntie. Not while mom's here.
I know. Come on. I'll be your accomplice.
So. Right now, Abby and I are sitting with our smoothies and our mason jars of water, and we're in our fat pants, which is
so
the
good.
Most comfortable thing to be in. We have Mia and Oliver joining us for recording, so we have a little candle, and
it
we are chilling.
Ambiance over here.
And I'm ready to ruin it.
Oh, good.
Are you?
Sure. Why not?
If you guys are new here or if you're returning and you like what you hear, that sounded oddly like sexual. Ambience. I apologize. And you liked hearing that.
My fat pants and my candles are doing the talking.
Yes, apparently. Well, if you did and you want to hear more of that, then you could definitely rate, review, follow, download, tell a friend, share on your Instagram. Send us an email, help us spread the word so that we keep doing this. That'd be all great.
Yeah. Allie and I have said before, and it's worth saying again, we've told everyone we know ad nauseam. So all of our growth now is from you guys, which is really cool. But also it means we really rely on you guys to do any other expanding because once again, everyone we know knows and they're so sick of hearing it. So
and we don't know that many people in the grand scheme of things. And there's like thousands of you. And so if we could like grow that to like tens of thousands of you,
that'd be cool.
And it just, you know, tells us you want us to keep doing this because we get paid $0, 0 cents to do it. So we love doing it, but we're having these conversations anyway. So if you like it, let us know,
please.
And we love you. So let's get into it, shall we?
Sure.
Okay. So hi, hello, and welcome back to your favorite true crime podcast. Aww. About Time for True Crime.
You guys are cute.
Aw, shucks. Thanks for tuning in. And again, thank you for rating, reviewing, sharing, and downloading, telling a friend. We love you and we are booping your noses for it.
Yes. Boops.
Right from the start, because I have to, I want to credit some sources for today. They're all listed below, but you know, I just got to tell you a few of them. So some include 9 News, the UK Times, Harper's.org, lots from BBC and Ooh. Britannica, National History Museum, and many more.
Wow, we're bringing museums into it now.
Oh, yeah.
Love
oh,
that. Yeah.
Today, I was feeling something different.
Mm-hmm.
I was feeling covering something I rarely do, something that interests me in a grisly, gruesome kind of way.
Okay.
And that, my friends, is cannibalism.
Siri, play Cannibal by Kesha.
I have so many thoughts.
Okay.
What draws my attention the most is how completely out of left field it feels to me, personally. Yes. Because I don't know about you. I'm not you, Apple Dabbleson. But I not once, not ever in my life, not even a little bit, not even in a dream, not even luckily in a nightmare, have I ever wanted to eat, been eaten, or eaten another person.
Well, can confirm. I would say the one thing I got going for me is those cute OCD intrusive thoughts, which is why I couldn't eat like animal meat for a long time. I was a vegetarian for 5 years because I couldn't get the mental image of it being alive out of my head. And so can confirm, have never even slightly wanted to broach the subject of like human soup.
I've never wanted to munch on or nibble at another person. It's just, it's not on my bingo card.
And once again, in the words of Kesha, I have not wanted to use your finger to stir my tea and then for dessert, I'll suck your teeth. Not once.
No, she was weird for that.
I love that. She wrote it with her mom. Fun fact.
Somehow that's worse. But kinda. Okay. All right. It can't be worse than this, though. So she's got that going for her.
Hey, also, she never did it. So, salute.
There are some cases that we talk about here that, while I strongly disagree with and condemn the actions taken, I can understand the motivation on a human level.
Yeah.
For example, heat of the moment situations where there's no premeditation or when it's an accident, someone falls and hits their head, and sometimes that's enough. I can understand anger, frustration, fear, fury, terror. Those are very real, very raw human emotions.
Yeah.
But the desire to kill and eat someone is so jarring that I cannot wrap my head around that.
No.
I don't understand the desire. I don't understand how that act can be sexually gratifying. I'm way too picky of an eater that there's no way in hell you'd get me to even try that.
No. Oh my gosh. I can't even get you to try like chicken baked a new way. Are you kidding?
I'm telling you, I'm that kid. Yeah. I have the palate of an 8-year-old. I yam what I yam.
You like sweet potatoes?
No, I really don't. But cannibalism isn't anything new. And so if talking about cannibalism or anything like that gives you the ick, this episode may not be for you because we are going to get into it. So if you are hungry, I'm going to change that. So hope you already ate or you don't plan to anytime soon, because we're going to talk about kind of some old cannibalism. I want to get you in that feeling, that headspace, that vibe.
Okay. Also, just a quick asterisk for further reading after this, if you guys are interested. According to my roommate, who is an avid reader, Tender is the Flesh is a very good book about that sort of like a dystopian fiction about what would happen if animal meat gave you poisoning and like was no longer okay for humans and they just become cannibals. And we were both like, it's almost like there's a word for not eating meat.
Almost like it's been invented before, kind of. No?
Almost like you could even go a step further and not eat any meat or like animal products. But anyway, just if you're curious, that's called Tender as the Flesh.
Good to know.
But anyway, continue on.
Well, thank you. Well, because cannibalism is actually one of the oldest practices we have.
So true.
If we eliminate other species and we just look at humans, because cannibalism exists in a ton of different species, but let's just look at us.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be selfish here. We're going
to take a selfish. Yeah.
We're taking a selfish. Spotlight's on us. Holy shit, is there a lot of history?
Yeah.
Every continent where there have been humans, there have been cannibals. Dating back thousands of years ago, human remains have been discovered with human teeth and bite marks embedded in the bone.
Ooh.
It's believed that these weren't a one-time sporadic or a desperate measure kind of thing, but actually more ritualistic and practiced in groups.
Mm.
For others, consuming your enemy was the ultimate way to show power and revenge.
Yeah.
It wasn't with respect. It was essentially out of spite.
Yep.
That you would consume them as like a your last hurrah.
There's no more dominant action than eating another being.
With the Aztecs, it's believed that they would make sacrifices to the gods and then they would eat the sacrificial person mm-hmm. because it was more meaningful that way.
Aww.
Early Greeks believed that consuming human blood was a cure for epilepsy. It's not. No. But, you know, there are reports from China in the 1200s that regarded child flesh as a delicacy. And on some occasions, a child would alive. They would sever their own flesh to serve to elders as a sign of respect.
Cute.
Take a fatty part of their leg or their hip or their arm or something and offer that to somebody else. In the 1500s, it was believed by some that dysentery could be cured with a concoction of several things that included powdered human skulls.
Mm.
Also, fun fact, didn't work like that.
Yeah.
In the 1600s, it was common practice in England to pulverize and consume parts of mummies as a cure for stomach aches and also still epilepsy. We had a real problem with epilepsy.
Also, have they not heard of a Pepto-Bismol?
No, they hadn't. Then, but take a while to get there.
But not your tum-tum. That's not going to help.
Fast forward to 1846. The Donner Party. Have you heard of it?
Sure have.
Okay. Even as recent as 1972, a plane carrying a rugby team from Uruguay and others, but essentially the whole team, went down in the Andes Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
The group had no idea where they were. They battled frigid temperatures, starvation, injuries, yeah. You name it. And many of them resorted to cannibalism to survive. Only 16 of the nearly 50 that were on board survived.
Well, you got to keep up your bulk. Sorry.
So whether as a statement of respect, a ritual, a religious sacrifice, revenge, act of war, medicinal approach, or the result of famine, cannibalism has been around as long as there have been people.
Sure has.
So now that you're in that headspace, you're welcome.
Thank you.
And I bring all of this up because it's pertinent to our conversation today. Not just because I was like, you know what I want to talk about today. The man we are discussing didn't commit cannibalism for any of the reasons previously listed.
Curious.
He did it simply because he wanted to.
Oh.
And we're going to talk about it. So now that you're nice and hungry, maybe you've grabbed a snack. Let's get into our case.
Tender.
We're going to be talking about the Rottenburg Cannibal, or Rottenburg Cannibal.
I prefer rotten. That
it does sound
right.
More on the nose. His name is Armin Mivas.
Armin?
Well, now just
getting
wait.
Armin this guy. What the hell?
You just wait, okay? So Armin, and I apologize, this case takes place in Germany, so there are names of this that I will butcher.
Sorry, Germany.
You missed. Did you not even hear my joke?
I did. It was very good.
She just glanced. Some of you guys heard it and you were like, oh.
You're like, hey. Was that good?
No. So Armin's last name is spelled Mewes. And in my surface level research on how to say that, it said Mivas.
Okay. I'll
take it. I know the W is a V. But other than that, I'm kind of just relying on what Google tells me. So if I'm wrong, I'm sure people will tell me.
Also, blame Google.
I'm going to call him Armin anyway. So Armin was born December 1st, 1961 in Germany.
I'm going to blame it on December. He was a winter baby.
So we're going on a European trip here, and I've always wanted to go. Germany's actually a bucket list destination for me, but, you know, that's an aside. Armin's parents had a shit marriage. I'll just say it. Yeah. There may have previously been love there, but it had long passed by the time that Armin was born and had memories. It seems that his dad, who by some reports was a police officer, had saved up a ton of money and purchased basically a mansion for his family.
Damn.
His dad had children from a previous relationship. So they were there. And then Armin's mom and him.
Okay.
They'd gotten together when his mom was 40 and his dad was 21. So there was quite the age difference between the two. And then, like, over the years, they, you know, and then Armin popped up.
That's a pretty late stage pregnancy. Okay.
Yeah. And it seemed like the relationship initially was good, but it had soured. And
yeah.
It's rumored that his mom didn't want a child, actually. This was her first and only child, but she intentionally got pregnant by her husband because she did think that her being pregnant and having a child would keep him there.
Got it.
So she was, like, trying to prevent this impending divorce that, newsflash, didn't work.
You know how having a child fixes all of your problems as a couple.
Yeah.
You know.
That's no added stress by any means. No. His mom actually believed that her husband was having an affair or several. Some reports, again, say that his dad was a police officer, and that might be true. I didn't read anything to suggest otherwise. But damn, what were they paying German cops back then in the 60s and 70s to buy a mansion?
Get a mansion.
Because this mansion was like 16,000 square feet, which I can't even imagine that.
I think that's bigger than my college campus.
Like, it's huge.
Yeah.
Anywho, I didn't get the impression that the dad was physically abusive, but it does seem that his mom was abusive toward his dad.
Okay.
If not physically, definitely emotionally.
Yeah.
She would threaten him. And it was like she was so afraid that he would leave that she badgered him. And then when he eventually left, maybe she felt that it confirmed what she thought would happen.
Mm.
So at least, like, she had nothing, but she could say, I told you so.
Right.
For some people, without knowing it, that's what they want.
Love a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Emotionally, his dad was checked out long before he physically checked out.
Yeah.
One day when Armin was 6 or 7, his dad packed up, walked out the door, and he never came back.
Damn, the cigarette line was that long?
Yeah, legend has it, he's still waiting.
Wow.
He was just going for milk, can you imagine?
And the inflation in between now and then, he probably isn't even prepared.
No way. Armin never saw his dad again.
Aww.
And this was very upsetting. And Armin's feelings of abandonment weren't made better by an extremely cold and affectionless relationship with his mom. There was little, if any, in the way of love and comfort behind the closed doors of the mansion. And not only did his mom not offer even love, but she was, like, militant and controlling. He was ordered to clean the whole house. He had to do all of the chores. He had to do the shopping and all of the housework, the yard work, all of the stuff that kids his age weren't doing. He was 8 years old and he had to do all of it.
So do you know, were the other children still around?
So those other children were his dad's kids.
Yeah.
So when the dad left, it's either that the kids were already older.
Got
and
it.
Might have, like, lived, like, with a different parent, or maybe they could go live on their own. I mean, again, his dad was 21. So okay. I don't think he had kids that were so much older than Armin, but they were together a few years and then they had Armin and then, you know.
Right. So it's not like he left her with all of his other children to care for them and Armin.
No, either the dad took those kids with him or those kids had already left the house. And when it was just the three of them in the house is when things got
it. Okay.
Bad.
So they were redistributed.
Yes.
Okay.
But Armin was like 8. Doing all of the housework, all of it. And it wasn't that his mom was so busy that she couldn't. It's that she wasn't doing anything and he was there to do that.
Nice.
And it's a tale as old as time. A strained, flawed, abusive relationship between mother and son is never a recipe for success. Evidenced by, every multi-part series we've done on this podcast ever.
Yeah.
That's my guess, but, you know. As a result, Armin turned to reading, which is a pro-social activity, right?
Yeah, that's a new one.
But he was drawn to dark, morbid topics, and it more than just interested him, it inspired him.
Yeah, and that's where we differ, because I was going to say same, but then not same.
Yeah.
No so inspiration,
like,
here.
It was the reading that was pro-social, and then the, like, inspiration, not pro-social.
No, buddy.
Close but no cigar, you know? In his younger years, he liked reading stories like Hansel and Gretel, but he was more drawn to the evil witch woman who was trying to fatten the kids up to kill and eat them than he was with the real story. He wasn't frightened by the tale like kids often were. He was kind of intrigued by it and wanted to know more about her than really the kids, which...
He was like, and also, what kind of oven did you get? My dad's got, like, a lot of money.
Correct. Like- In the eating them part, yeah, that hit the spot for him.
Ugh.
He would read other similar stories and was drawn to the ones that involved cannibalism, even if at his young age he didn't know what that was, even right. if it that wasn't the word that he used or how it was referred in the books, but whatever it was, it interested him in a way that was more than just like, oh, gross, tell me more. It was like,
right.
oh, I'm really interested in that.
It's like, ooh, let me get my notepad. I gotta take notes.
How do I learn how to do this? This sounds like something I want to do at some point.
Yeah.
He thought of eating his classmates.
Ooh. Even Ollie thinks that's gross. He was like, Mom.
Yeah, if you guys heard my cat, he did a cute little squeaky. While he did also, again, consider eating his classmates, though he didn't, like, have plans for it, but, like, he so wanted to.
Yeah.
He also had an imaginary friend.
Oh.
Actually, an imaginary brother.
Oh.
That he named Frankie. And okay. he would tell Frankie all about what he was feeling just so he wouldn't feel alone. Because okay. he felt isolated from his classmates. He didn't really have that many friends. I mean, he wasn't an odd kid or they didn't know how odd he was.
Yeah.
But he didn't have the normal childhood that maybe a lot of his friends had. And so he had an imaginary friend and he had his books. And that was a hell of a lot better than talking to his mom.
That sounds right. Unfortunately. Okay.
He wasn't proud of these thoughts. He felt alone in having them, which...
At least there's that.
I mean, that's good that he was alone. There wasn't like a whole community of them that was like, you know what I want to do?
Group club after school on Thursdays of like, what new human flesh delicacy are we trying this week?
Yeah, he's like, I have Model UN on Tuesdays, Cannibalism Anonymous Wednesdays... Thursdays, I have field
cannibal
hockey.
Cannibal cooking class.
Correct.
Yeah.
And because he didn't have anybody, he just felt alone and he couldn't tell anyone. His dad was gone. His older siblings from his dad were also gone. His mom wasn't maternal. He didn't really have any other close family. So he kind of went to school. From reports, he did fine.
Yeah.
He was personable, kind. He had some friends, but he was harboring a dark secret that made him feel so far away from his friends. Like, he would have right. friends and see them, but he was like, there's so much I can't say. And so he kind of detached himself a little bit from them.
Right. And how supported can you feel if you don't feel like you can be who you are and have that person supported? You know what I mean?
Yeah. After school, he joined the West German Army. Because again, we're talking about West and East Germany here. He had hoped to have a career as a professional soldier, actually.
So and, Armin in the army?
Correct.
Okay.
And a huge plus was that he got the frick frack away from his mom. And he really needed that.
Ayo. Also, might be one of the few army guys who really didn't need to benefit from all that discipline.
It's not the discipline that he actually needed, but... Because he did actually great right. in the army. But what he did need was the structure
right.
and the support. Because the military offered those things when he didn't have those in his life at any other time.
Yeah.
And he had a routine and responsibilities that didn't leave room for him to delve into those dark interests. So
yeah.
it was like he was so busy with things that he had to do that he felt were important that... by no means got rid of what he was feeling, but it did sort of push it to the back yeah. burner because he had other more pressing things to deal with. But like with all things, if you try to force something down and push it away and say, well, if I just tell myself I won't think of it, it won't affect me, you're wrong.
Yeah, that sounds like it'll resurface.
It's a really tough pill to swallow, and maybe you're one of the few that can do that. Armin wasn't. Odds are you're not either.
Yeah.
If it's eating at you, you got to do something about it. And there's a part of me that feels for him here.
Yeah.
Because he's a young adult now. He felt utterly alone with a desire that he wasn't comfortable with. He wasn't proud of this by any means. He had no outlet, no one to talk about it with. He just felt really like,
what do I do with this?
Alone.
Yeah.
And well, if he...
And I do feel for him. You know, I think a lot of people do really horrendous things. And I don't condone that. But I also know that in the time and in the culture, I'm sure, it's not like it would have been easy or accepted for him to be like, hey, I just got to go to my therapy. And then to even go and to feel confident and comfortable with that professional to share those thoughts. Like, there is a lot here that stands in people's way. And I'm glad that he didn't feel comfortable and confident talking about this with most people. But I wish that he had an outlet where he could have worked through some of those things professionally.
Right. Because if he had gotten help, maybe what did happen wouldn't have happened.
Right.
And by now we're talking 70s, 80s Germany. They had a lot going on.
You don't say.
Perhaps pristine mental health care for a wannabe cannibal wasn't at the top of their list.
Yeah, I'd say so.
If it was even on the list. But Armin was ashamed of these desires, but he was able to keep it at bay.
Okay.
Throughout his decade-long career in the army, there weren't red flags until the end. Truly. No reports of anything going on until the very end.
Okay.
For the majority of his service, he did well. He followed the rules. He had many friends, a lot of, on the surface level, like-minded people. Of course, they didn't have that inner sort of demon that he was fighting, but
right.
He did have people around him. He had support, and this wasn't something he was used to.
Yeah, that's a whole new world.
He didn't get into the dating scene, really, though. A friend had later recalled that Armin asked him one time if he thought he was gay. And his friend responded that it isn't for anyone else to know or decide, that's for you.
That's a good friend.
The friend also said that Armin was a good friend to women, but he just never showed romantic desires for them.
Was he an asexual man?
Well, he might not have had the vocabulary for what he was feeling, but later on, I mean, it was known that Armin was gay.
Oh, okay.
And he was just sort of asking that friend for advice, probably feeling out to see if he'd be accepted.
Right.
And he didn't get a no.
Yeah. I really liked the friend's response. I think that that is not something you always see, especially in settings like this. And, you know.
He's like, well, that's for you to know, bud. Like, yeah, like whatever it is whatever it is.
That's your business.
That's what you got to decide. I can't tell you what your life's going to be.
Right. Good guy.
And so Armin was gay. Again, Armin probably didn't know it at the time, or maybe he didn't want it to be, or he confused it with the other desires he felt, which were sexually gratifying in nature. And so maybe that to him those things didn't make sense.
Right. Maybe that wasn't a reality, but part of the fantasy that he didn't want to have.
Yes.
Yes.
The red flag came when he was kicked out of the army.
Ooh,
his 30s. Again, so about a decade into his career. So he wasn't in it just like a year and got kicked out. I mean,
he had
a good chunk of time. He was involved in a couple of car accidents while he was driving under the influence.
Oh.
I'm not aware of what the result of those accidents were. I didn't see anything that people were harmed, if he hit like other cars or if he just wrecked his own or whatever it was. But in very quick succession, he had two car accidents where he was driving under the influence and he was struggling with alcohol.
Got it. Okay.
This ended his military career on a sour note and was not the intended way to change paths in life.
Yeah.
At 32, he moved back in with his mom.
Oh.
Which was all he had. She still lived in that mansion. Not that I know how anyone afforded this place, but that's besides the point. Armin was there again and he took care of her because she was older now and she'd gotten ill. She was in her 70s. But her older age did not soften her domineering personality. It seemed as though she just picked up where she left off.
The edges got rougher.
And it's almost like she had this new thing to sort of wave over him, like, look what you did. Because Armin had planned on spending his life as a career soldier, and that would have been a possibility for him had he not been kicked out. So it wasn't what he wanted to do. It didn't end on the note that he wanted it to end on. So he just kind of felt stuck and disappointed and ashamed and kind of like, okay, where do I go now? I'm in my mid-30s. I have to come up with this new life plan. Right.
Pick a new direction.
And so he did. He switched gears. He kind of got back on the horse, if you will, and he went down a new career path.
Okay.
It was the 90s. And there was a little thing called the World Wide Web. Maybe you've heard of it.
Is that like part of the Yo Mama So Fat She Worldwide jokes?
That's where it started.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
You're right. You got this.
Right.
He became a computer engineer, and the emerging internet not only offered Armin consistent work, and it did, it also exposed him to others who shared his fantasy.
As the internet does.
Abby and I often say that we'll always see tech advancements before we see legislation catch up. So we'll see almost a naive approach from users. Think early online dating when you never thought someone would be what we call a catfish now. You assumed everyone was 100%, sometimes too much, themselves.
Yep.
Then we caught on to, oh, that's not really how it goes, huh?
Right. You get the Dexter wannabes calling you to their garage.
Nice callback to episode like 5?
Yeah, probably.
I apologize if you've listened to that recently.
It was good. It stuck with me.
We age like wine. We get better with time, okay? In the mid-90s, mid to late 90s, the internet was full of these online forums about pretty much every subject under the sun. Maybe you remember.
AIM, baby.
If we look at them with our modern eyes, we'd say they look ancient, archaic, probably gimmicky.
Yeah.
When you kind of looked at the way they looked. I mean, they look like the quintessential, like, 90s blog.
Yeah.
With that weird border and the font. It was just weird. And the really big cursor.
Always.
But it was all that existed at that time.
Yeah.
And it was the first time that your average person had access to so much information at ease. And so many people from all around the world. Because again, this didn't exist before.
Right.
It was in these darker forums that Armin found other people like him. He belonged to several different sites regarding cannibalism.
Good, good.
He dove headfirst into this new world because for the first time in his life, he didn't feel alone.
And that's the beauty and the horror of the internet, right? Like, it's so nice to be able to find a community for all of the things that you are and you want to identify as and you have interest in. But sometimes it's hard to decide when we need to practice self-discretion on which things we want to identify as that we should identify as.
Absolutely. And there's also that danger piece of it that, again, right. We probably weren't considering. Like, legislation, all of these other things, those red flags pop up later. But at first, it's just new and it's cool and everybody exciting. Wants to be a part of it because it is different. And it's a changing of the times. We're nearing Y2K. We're getting, you know, everyone's freaking out. We get these are things that this is new.
Right.
And they never had access to this. And now somebody like you and I didn't need to have a computer the size of your present day living room.
Yeah.
To be able to access information. You really could own this at home. And yeah, it was big and bulky, but you could do it.
Yep.
And this offered comfort and community that he had never had anywhere else, even in the army, even in school with his friends. He never felt like he was a part of something wholeheartedly.
Right.
Like he was
authentically
a little bit of himself, but not all of himself. And as ashamed as he was in what he felt, he couldn't control, or he felt he couldn't control those desires that he had. And so, like it or not, he had them.
Right.
And holy shit, there's other people like me.
Yeah, that is an opening door for sure.
He would have his mom barking at him all day.
Nice.
As she did. But when he logged on and he was connected with people from those forums and those groups, it probably felt more like family than his family.
Yeah.
Absent dad, siblings he didn't talk to, a mom that was domineering to say the least, and no other family really outside of that.
Right.
What did he have in the way of family that was of substance?
Very little. At best.
And then there's all of these people, sure, under screen names, but you talk all day. You yep. talk every day. You check in. You know about maybe each other's families. Maybe you have other interests in common. Maybe you like the same sports teams. Fill in the blank. Yep, what
girl,
have you?
XO Go Cowboys has been telling you all week how things are going.
And you have that connection and you're like, what is connection? How I never thought I could even contextualize what I was feeling. And here's all of these people that feel it too.
Yeah, and they know that about me and still like me, which is something that he's never experienced.
Exactly. Then his mom died.
Oh.
She passed away in September 1999.
Aww.
And instead of being sad, he was like, fucking finally.
Yeah, that happens.
Which is awful. In and of itself, like, to have that kind of relationship with a family member where when they die, you are wholeheartedly relieved.
Mm-hmm.
That's very upsetting.
It is. It's rare, but also there are a lot of times where people at least feel like a small amount of relief of like, oh, okay, the caretaking is done. Their pain is over. But this sounds like it was just like, oh, finally.
Like she's not nagging me anymore. She's not being mean to me. And I'm sure there was a little bit of grief, if only because of the routine that changed, maybe.
Well, yeah. And also like that is your mom. You're going to grieve A, the relationship that you had, but also the relationship you never got a chance to have.
Yeah. So she was just gone, and that left room for him to dive further into his fantasy, sort of uninterrupted, because she wasn't there. He didn't have to worry about her coming into a room. He didn't have to worry about that, so he could do so.
So does he get the mansion?
That's where he's living.
That must be fucking nice.
I wouldn't complain.
No.
And he's working in IT in the 90s. I'm sure he did all right.
Yeah, legit. Okay.
By now, not only did he frequently visit these forums and sites, he began posting to them.
Okay.
And he really liked that and the feedback he got.
Oh, God, feedback. Okay. I wasn't even thinking about that.
He bought meat at the store. I'm assuming like old or spoiled meat, since it'd be a waste if not. And when he came home, he treated it like an art project, crafting it, shaping it, painting it, all to look like human flesh.
Ew.
And then he took photos of it and uploaded those photos to the forums, which gained him a lot of attention from others in the group.
This is a good job on arts and crafts, buddy.
And this is what I mean when I say laws catch up later. Because there were probably things going on in these forums that were illegal and no one was monitoring it, or it should have been illegal, but that vernacular hadn't made it on the books yet.
Right.
Anyway, Armin was encouraged by all of the positive feedback that he got on his posts because he got a lot of attention, and this was a wallflower kind of guy, and all of a sudden he's putting things and there's like pages and pages of people supporting him and saying, right, that looks awesome, that's cool. And then he made a website.
Oh, gosh.
And I think it was called the Cannibal Cafe. It has since been taken down. You can see snippets of it from other websites.
How can you have a cafe? There's one fucking item.
Well, there's one source. There's several items.
Ooh.
So keep that in your back pocket. He posted under different pseudonyms, often using Frankie, which
rude,
was his imaginary brother's name. So
he's going to throw his brother under the bus?
Hails,
damn.
Yeah. Hails, yeah. He posted that he was looking for a boy 18 to 25 with a normal body who would be open to being butchered, as he wanted to eat his, quote, horny flesh.
Huh? This is a new meaning of eat your heart out. What the fuck?
I told you it was going to get a little uckies, and we're just starting.
Breaching the ucks. Okay. All right.
So if you're feeling a little uncomfortable by just being like, I I'm looking for somebody who's like young, who's average, can't be like gross.
Can't be too fit.
Who wants to be killed and cut up and eaten.
And is also horny.
To eat horny flesh, which is just like, is it the part of the body that makes it horny? Is it like a time of day? Like what? I have questions. Okay. Anyway, he continued to post these photos.
Okay.
These fake photos claiming they were real, posting that he had killed, cooked, and eaten men. And he even got more praise from the online community because it's like, whoa, he's like doing the damn thing. He's living the dream.
Okay, so he was not being like, look at this arts and crafts project I made. He was like, look at this man that I eat.
Well, at first it seemed like he would just post the photos like uncaptioned.
Got it. Let people make their
own. And
then
people would like think, oh, that's so cool. So then he would like do it again and make it look even more cool.
Got it.
And then he'd post for like volunteers or anybody who wanted to like give it a whirl. He was into that.
Mm.
But everyone had their separate names.
Have you ever wanted to lightly try cannibalism? Like, have you ever wanted to dip your toe into dying and being eaten?
Yeah, it's not a full send. We're just
experimenting. A little. We'll just try a little thigh.
You safe words and all, you know.
Pineapple brother, okay?
With his mom dead and more encouragement from this online community, he turned one of the many rooms in the mansion into a cannibal lair of sorts, intended to use it to carry out his fantasy. So he chose the specific room and like decked it out in things that were related to this for him. Like, we'll talk about it later, but he ends up using this room to do things. But I think he had, I don't know if it was like memorabilia or like posters or something in there, or just like plastic wrap everywhere. I don't know. Like we say, I'm sure the blanket's cracked. Yep. I have no idea. But
said, and this is my poster of Hannibal, and this is my...
Yes. But he's kind of growing more into like, now I'm going to have this designated space for this. Like, it's not just online for me anymore. It's going to have a physical manifestation. It's going to be in my home.
Right. And now we've gone from in my head alone to in theory alone to now making space in reality.
Yes. He engaged in these forums and a lot of it was role playing. So he dabbled in that. It was a lot of like, I want to eat you. And the other one's like, oh, yeah? Eat me. Like,
yeah. Mmm. Nom 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 nom. Delicioso.
Just took a bite. Oh, heavens. Yum.
Ew.
Yum, David.
5-star Michelin body.
Nom noms for us, David.
You get murdered first for once, David.
God, I love Schitt's Creek. It, of course, turned very sexual in many of these cases, and Armand was more into communicating with other gay men who had this preference. He wasn't interested in eating a woman. It wasn't gratifying for him.
Interesting.
I know.
Okay.
And that's why I wonder, like, I don't think he was ashamed of being gay, and he shouldn't have been, but I think that his sexual desire was, like, I'm attracted to men, and I'm attracted to the thought of eating them.
Yeah.
And that was, like, whoa, what's wrong with me? Why do I want to do that? But then he's like, oh, there's all these other people that feel that way too. So I don't know. Can't be that bad.
Maybe I can take a little nibble.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
Who hasn't? You know? Me.
I get cute aggression. Just not cute aggression hunger.
So think of the small subgroup of people who fantasize about eating people. Then of those, there's the ones who actually put it in writing. Of those, there's those who say they want to have sex with their partner and then eat them. And then there's Armin, who thought of all of these things. But most important to him was consent.
Wow, a true modern man.
When we say consent is sexy, we don't mean this. We don't claim this. We're not saying consent to be eaten. But for Armin, he said he didn't want to seek out and murder an unwilling victim. It had to be an arrangement, an agreement, where both parties agreed to conditions. In these forums where there was a lot of role play, planned meetups, and fantasizing, Armin posted that he was looking for a volunteer. He wanted someone who said, hey, hi, hello. I'm ready to die. I'd like to have sex with you first. Then you kill me. Then you eat me.
And I do feel like I might be a better, like, Caribbean jerk kind of flavor profile. What the fuck, dude? And listen, again, we are not in the field of yucking yums that are non-harmful and consensual. However, I would venture to say that you can't consent to your own murder, much the same way New Zealand says that. So,
hold on to that. Hold on to that, because how far does consent go? He wanted this arrangement.
Yes.
He posted about it, and he had a taker.
Okay.
A guy really did respond. That guy made arrangements and drove out to the mansion.
Wow.
And I don't have a name for him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to call him the guy. But when it came time, I mean, let's just say murder, because it is. When it came time for that, the guy had a change of heart and said, I actually don't want to do this.
Yeah, no shit.
So they kind of got together. I think they like messed around, slept together.
A little bit of do, yeah.
And then it was time for, like, that was the appetizer, if you will.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they were going to go into the main course. And at that time, the guy was like, no.
Right.
So Armin did the unthinkable. He let him go.
I mean, that sounds like him.
Can you believe how close to death this guy was? And how easy it would have been for Armor to say, no, you can't leave. You're here now. I've invested a lot of time into this, and just killed him anyway. But it was so important to Armin that the volunteer, right, the participant, be there because they wanted to be there, because they wanted to be a part of it.
Right.
So there was no gratification for Armin if his victim didn't want to do it. He wasn't going to enjoy that. So out that man walked, and that was the end of that. That okay. guy narrowly escaped death just because he said, hey, please don't. And Armin was like, oh, all right. Shit, all right. You got money for a cab? Or
no, don't. He was like, no, I won't.
Okay.
Damn. Do you want to go for round two? Or
that was, yeah, pretty much the damn. Extent of that.
Well, listen, I will probably kick myself for saying this, but I'll give him props for stopping there if that was not the plan. For saying, you know what, I will be better than that.
Yeah, hold on to that.
For now.
Sure.
Fuck.
Armin continued to engage in that role play online. And even he booked hotels with different men to hook up, and they sort of role played IRL without actually doing the thing. But
yeah,
it was becoming more of a community.
Okay, and now pretend I'm roasting you.
Ooh, that's and hot. He ouch. Like, ouch.
The guy like rolls around in the bed like a little chicken.
He puts him in the tub. He's like, now it's boiling.
Ow, ooh. Ow.
I hate us.
I do too, but it's hard. It's hard to wrap my head around as someone who does not have any inclination or desire to eat people and has never experienced or seen modeled for me a make pretend
no
of this eating, killing, cooking, fucking process.
Not as a result of starvation and you are staring death in the eyes and you have
right.
the only option, the only way you survive is to take part in this thing that you feel is wrong. That is not the case here.
No.
And this experience between the one leaving him and this role play he had between hotels and other things, it didn't like satiate him in maybe a way that he hoped it would have. It just left him wanting more.
Yeah, because now he has a metaphorical taste.
He found a discarded mannequin.
Oh.
A mannequin.
A real mannequin?
If you will. Yeah, and actually, this is the only exception to our rule of it's never a mannequin. Because it
actually
it
was.
Really was.
Wow.
Anywho, he brought it home and he used that same artistic talent he had where he used paint and other pieces of meat and papier-mâché to make another realistic looking body.
paper mache.
He did.
Over the ground beef.
Yes. That's and he has this murder room for it, basically. He photographed this art piece, if you will, maybe loosely. I don't know.
Yeah, question mark.
Uploaded it to the forum and then watched all the comments and feedback come in. He was like getting off on this.
Wow.
It was like he was idolized in this forum because he was like the guy doing the damn thing.
Right. He was putting his money where his mouth
was. And even if it wasn't real, it looked damn good. So that was cool for him.
Right. He's building like a portfolio almost.
Unfortunately, Armin was not content with this. The feedback online was reassuring, but it only motivated him to want to do this for real.
Well, yeah.
He put out another ad in the forums looking for a volunteer. And again, he found one.
How?
This man was 34-year-old, and again, it's German, and I might say it wrong, Bernd Brandes? B-R-A-N-D-E-S?
Okay.
When I looked it up, it said Brandes, so I'm going to call him that. So Brandes was married to a woman.
Okay.
But had recently voiced to her that he wanted to experiment with men, and they ended up separating.
Okay. That sounds like the times and a lot of relationships like that.
He responded to Armin's ad for a volunteer, and the two got to emailing about plans.
Wow.
Brandes was fully 100% committed.
You know what I want to know? I want to know what these people's fucking emails are. Is it like hamstringdelicioso@yahoo.com? Are we still in the SBC Global phase?
More of an ass guy.
At AOL.
Brandes was 100% committed.
Wow.
He had a couple of requests.
Sure.
And he vocalized those to Armin. He said that he wanted his skull to be used as an ashtray.
Okay.
Don't ask because I don't know either. He also wanted Armin to cut off his penis and the two could eat it together. You know, like order some penis for the table. Let's be bad. He took eat a dick very seriously. Apparently.
I'd be thinking like corn dog style. Like, what do you do?
Just a German wiener. Just a schlong.
What? Put in your letterhosen. Like, what the fuck, guy?
Like a gherkin.
Oh.
Just a, I don't have any other way to put
sausage,
this. It sounds
real.
So ridiculous to be true, and it's literally just eat a dick. And he's
eat
like,
eat a dick.
Gladly.
He would love to eat a bag of dicks.
Yeah.
I have to rethink that as an insult.
Depends
people
who
might be like
who you hurl that at, apparently.
Hell.
Armin, he was just happy to have a volunteer.
Yeah.
He's like, no way this can really happen. Like, I'm super excited.
Like, OMG sleepover.
Armin's intention was to still honor what his volunteer wanted done. Like, this was a partnership, and he thought it would be disrespectful not to honor their wishes.
So now he has to take up smoking. Like,
he kind of let Brandes, I get Brandes. He let him drive the direction of what they planned to do because Armin was just happy to be there. He was excited to get the chance. He was like, whatever it is that you wanted to do or the order of things you wanted it done, like, I'm cool with that.
It's like, I just wanted the ticket for entrance, general admission, if you will. You can make the set list.
I found a translation of the email exchange that was translated by Agena Moore, and I wanted to read you some excerpts from it.
Please do.
They used different screen names. So Armin used the name Antrophagus, A-N-T-R-O-P-H-A-G-U-S.
Okay.
Antrophagus, potentially. I don't know. And then his volunteer used the name Cater 99. So C-A-T-O-R 99.
Was again, catered?
You are very funny. Maybe. So
you said that like you're talking to a 3-year-old who tells you a joke you've heard a billion times. You're like, yep, haha. Anyway. it's pretty true.
Well. So Armin says this. He writes, I'm looking forward to our meeting. It will definitely be really cool. Aww. I love like 90s, 2000s, like I am messaging. I love this shit. So then Cater99 says, I want it to be. I really hope it'll be cool. Are you setting an alarm with like 10 question marks?
An alarm?
Mm-hmm. The response is, it's only a few days until March 9th. And then Brondis says, still, I would have rather met you yesterday and felt your teeth. And then Armin responded, one can't have everything. There's still some time before you really feel my teeth. It hurts to read this.
It's like, you've got a job, your house, your health. Like, what else do you want?
Brondis responded and said, I hardly know what to expect. Have you slaughtered a man before? Armin said, unfortunately, only in my dreams. But in my thoughts, I do it every night.
Kinky.
The other one goes, so I'm the first? You have eaten human flesh before, or you haven't? No, you don't exactly find it in the supermarket, unfortunately. Then Brondis said, how do you know if it will taste good to you, or that the blood won't make you sick? And Armin said, I'm readying myself with my dreams. Once I was so excited, I grabbed a needle and drew my own blood so I could drink it. And they kind of go on like that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brondis writes, I hope you have also already thought about what's to be done with the rest. Fulfilling the dream shouldn't become a nightmare for you. No one will know where I've disappeared to.
He's even thinking ahead for him.
Yeah.
That's wild.
And Armin responded saying, after you're dead, I'll take you out and expertly carve you up, except for a pair of knees in some fleshy trash, like skin, cartilage, and tendons. There won't be much of you left. The response was, there will be a good bit, like the knees. I hope you have a good hiding place for them. He's literally talking about his own knees, man. He's like, where are you going to put these knees?
Like, I got wonky knees, all right? The left one's bigger than the right one. And I'm worried for you because
I hope you have a hiding place for them, damn it.
He's got a fucking mansion. I think he'll be fine.
So then Armin says, I'll dry out the knees and grind them up soon after. The response was, okay, they're good as fertilizer. I heard that once. I see you've thought about it. Good. Sounds like I'm the first. And then Armin says, and you won't be the last, hopefully.
Sorry.
This is where he deviates from what he says before. He says, I've already considered catching a young person from the street, but I would rather kill only those who want to be killed. So he's like, I don't want to.
But I've thought about
it. I've tossed it around up there.
Yeah. And up there, the jury said no.
Mm-hmm.
No. Consenting murder victims only, you included.
Yes.
Damn.
And then Brondis responded and said that also doesn't sound bad. But yeah, seeing as it's not so totally legal, this is, in my eyes, better than yanking somebody directly off the street.
I don't necessarily agree with what's happening, but I'd agree that it's better than yanking someone off the street.
So, as you've heard, they are making their plans. This is very much a two-way street.
This is a yes means yes. This isn't even like a lack of no means yes.
But he's literally saying, what are you going to do with the rest of me? I heard this part might make good fertilizer. Like, I just want to make sure like you've thought of all this through because I want this to be enjoyable, like, for you while you're eating me. You have a
dog for my femur or...
Legit.
Damn.
Prior to going to Armin's house, Brenda sold his car, got rid of all of his possessions.
Shit.
And destroyed the hard drive on his computer so there was no trace of where he went.
Damn.
And as they planned, on March 9th, 2001, he arrived at Armin's house. They have sex, they spend time together, and then it was time to get down to business.
Wow.
They bought sleeping pills to try to numb the pain so that the volunteer wouldn't be in so much pain, but also could stay awake.
So he had an arm in him in many ways.
You are unreal. And then they get started.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
So okay. Armin's like, okay, well, I'm gonna start with what you requested because you wanted to start with the...
I provide the experience, baby.
Mm-hmm. So they started with his penis or schlong, member, wiener, dick, whatever you want to call it.
Schnitzel.
Yeah, that too. You know when if you say you're hungry and an asshole guy is like, I have something you could eat, and then you want to deck him? It's like this, yeah. But the opposite.
And he's like, oh my gosh, yes, please, thank you. I've been dying to eat a dick.
Correct.
Wow.
So Armin set up a video camera and recorded the whole process.
Okay.
And this was also consensual. This was not something that, like, I mean, they were both like, yeah, this would be cool to, like, have a record of it. That's neat. And Armin wanted it because he's like, I want to be able to watch that again. And he also was taking pictures the whole time because he, like, wanted to relive this.
Right. It's like he's at fucking Disney World.
Correct.
Disney's World. Sorry.
No, that was a good one.
Thank you.
There you go. Armin wanted to be able to relive this, and he wanted sort of like the proof that he did it too. I don't know that he was ever planning on sharing it on these online forums, but he'd already spent so much time faking it on these online forums, or at least like if he wasn't saying it was real, they agreed so much of how believable it did look. So he
alluding.
Yeah, he'd already gained so much that it's like, this would be kind of cool to share with them. Like, I got my friends over there. That'd be pretty neat.
Get your money where your mouth is.
So, with the camera set up and recording and the body part to be removed was out and front and center, Armin took a knife and chopped off his dick.
Wow.
And when I first started researching, I didn't think that sentence would come out of my mouth, but here I am and here we are.
There was a third member there.
Yep. But this obviously caused severe pain.
Yeah, no shit.
The measures that they had taken previously to prevent that pain did very little to curb that pain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because actually having your dick chopped off hurts more than they anticipated.
Yeah.
But he still wanted to keep going. He's like, that really, really fucking hurts, but keep going.
Well, it's already done.
So, but the thing is he wanted to be able to eat his own dick.
Right.
Like, he's like, I want
mine medium rare.
He's like, I want you to cut it off. I want you to fry it up, and we're both going to eat it.
Share a last meal.
Apparently. Which is confusing to me because you've just removed the sexual organ that if you're getting gratified from this, you are not going to feel that mm-hmm. anymore. Not only are you in significant pain, but you're also like you've removed the organ that would that provide was going that to pleasure. Get you there.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of the whole point. So, I don't know. Seems like Armin made out better in this deal if you ask me.
In many ways.
But what do I know? So Armin goes into the kitchen, put the schlong on a pan, and he cooked it.
Wow. Like, wow.
He really wanted to crisp up the outside, you know?
Well, you don't want soggy dick.
No. Once it was cooked and cut up, he brought it with him, and the two tried to eat it. But it was spongy and squishy and not as delicious as they anticipated. I know. Were you hungry? You won't be. So his victim,
it's like the rare one in a billion Twinkies that go bad.
Yeah.
And I think Twinkies will outlive humans, frankly. Like, I think they have so many chemicals in them, they will outlive us by far. But,
So it was like they cut up a piece. I don't know. Do you start from the...
Put the wiener in mac and cheese?
No.
Oh.
No, they just...
Straight up.
Twas fried up. I don't know who ate what bite, which end you start on to... Anyway, not going to think about that anymore. But this was something that they had talked about for a long time working up to this point.
Yeah.
And then it happens, and Armin is like, this doesn't taste good. Like, it wasn't... There was so much riding on this moment.
Are you like, saying it's anticlimactic?
Yes. Yes, I am. And obviously he's like, I anticipated this to taste better, and you anticipated this to taste better, and you are in a lot of pain. You are bleeding everywhere, and this is uncomfortable for me.
Right. This is not the condiment I wanted.
Yes. So by now, his victim was breeding.
I was going to say, I think those capabilities are gone.
Was bleeding profusely everywhere.
Yeah.
Which made a mess. And he was not expecting that. He knew to expect blood. He was in that room that he had sort of designed for this.
Mm-hmm.
And he expected that there would be some cleanup, but not the extent that it was getting to. And he kind of became overwhelmed with how much blood there really was. So he brought him to the bathtub so that that mess could be kind contained. Of contained. But he was still in a lot of pain. And he was going in and out of consciousness from both the pain and the blood loss.
Mm-hmm.
Armin figured he'd just bleed out, so he gave him water, tried to make him as comfortable as he could, and he kind of left him alone. To pass the time, he read Star Trek. I'm not kidding.
Okay.
Periodically, he went in to check on him, and still in and out of consciousness, bleeding a lot, in a lot of pain. Nothing was really changing. And then hours passed, and Armin said to him, listen, this is taking a while, and you're in a lot of pain. I was going to go ahead and slit your throat to speed this up. You good with that? And he did. And within minutes, Brandes was dead.
So Brandes did agree to it.
Yeah.
He went there to die. He would have been like, yeah, it's taking a fucking while here. It's not a great time.
And this is recorded. And at no point were either of them like, oh shit, what'd we do? Or this is too much, or like, I need to go to the hospital. Like, there was no,
this is the goal, the agreement, the arrangement.
And it just makes me wonder how much pain Brandes was in, like, mentally.
Yeah. That
this was the best way, like, this was something he consented to and was like, this is the best way to go. Like, this is what I want. And to suffer through that pain, it was hours.
Yeah.
And I don't even want to begin to imagine what he experienced, what he felt in those moments, but that it was still better to him than not having that or seeking help. And so,
wow,
the one part of himself that he did try to eat was not good.
Mm-hmm.
And depends on the source you look at, but one of the sources I read said Armin just fed it to his dog because the
poor puppy
penis did not taste well and he didn't want to waste it, but it was not good. So,
poor puppy.
I don't think the dog noticed.
I don't
care. It's pretty gross.
Poor puppy.
So after he was dead, Armin got to work because, you know, yeah, it's time sensitive and you have to.
Well, and you don't want the meat to go bad. That's the point. Ugh.
He chopped him up, butchered the whole body. Some parts he put in the fridge. Most parts went into the freezer to save for later.
A rainy day.
He cooked up a piece of his back with potatoes and veggies, and he sat down for his first meal.
Okay.
For the next 10 months. Armin ate 44 pounds of human flesh.
That's a long time.
10 months. Every day he was pulling from the freezer to put in the fridge. From the fridge, he would cook it up. The man ate almost every part of his body.
Wow.
He used the meat. I'm using that lightly, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's not... Ugh. For breakfast, lunch, dinner, he used some for toppings.
He used some for sandwiches. Liked it more than he liked dick.
Correct. Like, different cuts, different parts. He likened it to pork, essentially.
I'm not going to be able to eat pork for a while.
So he found a way to season it. He found which veggies went with what part best. He had, like, sandwich meat sometimes. He had, like, toppings on pizza. No part went to waste.
Forearm, tomato, and spinach pizza.
Yes.
Ugh.
He continued to post about all of this in the forums, but then he included photos from the dismemberment scene.
Oh.
An Austrian student came across these somehow, and I'm like, Germany, Austria, okay, there's a history here.
Yeah.
But the student came across some of these posts. I don't know what the fuck he was doing in those forums, but he thought, this looks real.
This looks, and it was mighty real.
Different than the other ones that, like, kind of looked real. This one looked real, real. And he reported them to the police.
Well, good. Thanks, Austrian kid.
And when the police looked into it at first, they're like, yeah, yeah. But very quickly, they're like, what in the world is going on here?
Right.
So they go and talk to Armin. Armin invites them in the mansion.
Yeah.
Shows them around, and they're kind of free to walk around. And so one of them just opens his freezer, and in the freezer is very noticeable human remains.
Yeah.
Because that meat in there actually had skin still attached to it.
Oh.
Which means they were like, that's not from the butcher shop. That's not from the grocery store. That's not from the market. That was human skin. Like, they could tell that. Yeah. They were already suspicious of it. And then they open the freezer. It's the first thing they see. And they're like, what
the fuck? What in the fucking fact?
Then they found the video.
Yeah.
Because he had the video of it. So Armin just admitted to the whole thing. He was like, well, yeah. Like, at first when they walked in, he was like, no, I don't know anything what you're talking about. They look in the freezer and the fridge, and they're like, okay, but what about this part? And he's like, you got
all
me.
All right. April Fool's.
I was just kidding.
It's a joke, guys.
I was just thinking about it. I wasn't going to do it. I did it. So he admits the whole thing, and he was arrested immediately.
Good.
According to a BBC article I found, he's quoted as saying, I admit what I've done. I accept that I'm guilty, and I regret my actions. He said that he wanted to tell his story and hope it serves as a deterrent for others so that they won't do what he did. When asked what others who share his feelings should do, he said they should go for treatment so it doesn't escalate like it did with me.
Okay.
He also said he believed there were about 800 cannibals in Germany.
Damn.
Because of all of the networking that essentially he had done. He essentially was saying there are so many more of us than you think there are.
He's like, well, on my Tuesday group, we have about 300 on the Zoom call.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Which is terrifying that there is a subset of people that desire that, that might jump at the opportunity if they were given that.
Right.
He was in his early 40s when he was arrested.
Okay.
He had spent a lifetime battling these thoughts and about a year actually getting to reap the benefits of
his
committing the murder.
Yeah.
If you call it that. I mean, I do. But he was arrested in December 2002. Because his victim was willing, which, I mean, was evidenced not only by Armin just saying that, but mm-hmm. I mean, the video pretty much
laid
it all out.
In hindsight, I'm sure it fed a gratification purpose for him, but also was really good insurance that his story was corroborated as well.
Yeah, it showed that both members were consenting, willing adults with an agreement, and neither of them backed out. Neither of them asked to stop. Neither of them
and full changed knowledge their mind of what was going to happen.
Exactly. They had the emails, the fact that his victim sold all of his stuff, the fact that his victim called out of work the day that he went to Armin's house, and the fact that he drove himself to Armin's.
Yeah.
That Armin didn't go to him and do this or pick him up or anything. The plan was laid out. There were the email exchanges, some of which I read to you.
Right.
That show what was agreed upon. He went to him having done all of the preparation that he could think of to do this, intending on going there and not leaving there.
Right.
And then the video also shows that this wasn't a struggle. This wasn't like a fight. This wasn't a heat of the moment killing. This was none of that.
Up until the very end, everything that was done was asked, agreed upon, and willingly gone through.
And in the video, his victim is saying, okay, do it now. Do this. Like, he's sort of guiding him through what to do. I mean, Armin isn't looking for his direction necessarily. He's not like, I wouldn't do it.
Right.
But he's waiting for permission. He's not kind of like making it up as he goes.
Right. It's not like, well, it's 11 o'clock and we said we'd do this at 11.
Attorneys were also shocked to find out cannibalism was not illegal in Germany at that time. They had no law on the books that said it was illegal.
Damn.
So they couldn't prosecute him for that.
Right.
So check your local laws, guys. He was, though, found guilty in January 2004 and was originally sentenced to only 8.5 years because the charge was the German equivalent to desecration of a corpse.
Okay.
And like a lesser manslaughter charge, which didn't carry that much time.
Right.
But this made headlines.
Well, yeah.
Lots of them. Public outrage ensued, and in a few years, he was retried on the grounds that his victim wasn't in the right frame of mind and could not consent to his own death.
Right.
And they were saying they had no way of determining if his victim was well. And by all intents and purposes, I don't really think he could have been.
No, but it also didn't sound spur of the moment. I mean, he was a part of this community.
It wasn't spur of the moment, but what would his diagnosis have been? Was he competent? Was he in a mental space or frame of mind where he could have done that? And would he have? You know, would a sane, rational, quote-unquote, typical person agree to that?
Well, I think there's a lot of fun theory to get into with that question.
Mm-hmm.
I will try to rein it in. I agree that specifically when it comes to agreeing to have his throat slit, I don't think he was in a frame of mind where he could have rationally consented to that, because he was in so much pain and he was going in and out of consciousness and all of the health issues that were happening. But I struggle with this because he clearly had some stuff going on. But as we all know, there are people with stuff going on every day that know they have stuff that choose not to get treatment. And now, is that his case? I don't know. He could have wanted it and not gotten it. He could have had no idea what was going on. I don't know. But it didn't seem like he was under distress about this. He seemed excited.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is part of the case that I would have been looking for, is like, okay, did he seem in other areas of his life under distress about this desire, about this community, anything like that? Because if not, I mean, at least as far as eating his own penis, I'd say that that's all consensual. And even the general theory of death, if not actuality, the way that it happened, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that he had consented to that as what was going to happen, even if in the moment it wasn't true consent.
Yeah.
I have a difficult time with this one. This is fascinating and gross.
I know. I told you, you had to be in this weird headspace for this one. But what's fascinating to me is that initially he is sentenced to like 8.5 years, probably be out in 5. But it was the public that were like, what in the frickety frack is going on here? Hell no.
Everyone in Germany was like, not good.
Nine, they said.
Nine. Get so, your little booty in there for a bit.
They kind of pushed back and they were like, no, this is absolutely ridiculous. We need to catch up our laws on this. And this is not okay.
Okay.
And that movement gained so much momentum that they actually resentenced him in 2006 to a life sentence.
Whoa. Okay.
To more equate it
right
to what they did, which Germany's got to have some different laws. I don't think we could do that here. Once it's done, I think it's done.
Yeah.
And there's an appeals process, and that's a whole thing. But Armin has since become a vegetarian in prison.
Aww.
Hmm. He gives interviews. He's calm and polite, normal even. He speaks English and German, so there are some in English. If you're an English speaker and you'd want to watch that, you can find them. He's kind of an awkward, shy, meek guy. He's like, yeah, I have a lot. I regret that. I wasn't thrilled. It's not who I am anymore. And there's this weird sort of arrangement. I don't know if this exists in all of Germany or just where he is, or maybe it's a European thing. I don't know. Again, hey, United States. So I'm not sure. But he's granted supervised excursions.
Okay, so he can like go out and do things with,
like, supervision. He gets like furloughs kind of. And so it's said that he can only do so if he's in disguise so that nobody can recognize him.
Aww.
Which I think is scarier because if this is the man who's eaten people, I mean, he has to live with that. He has to use that. He has to have his face. You can't just put on a Mr. Potato Head like glasses and be like, oh, yep. It, like,
it's not me. It's Clark Kent.
He can go around acting as if he's typical because that's not the case. And he also needs to have officers with him at all times.
Yeah.
But, like, he just gets to go outside. Like, I think he gets driven probably far away so that he's not in the community that would likely recognize him. And he just gets to kind of, like, walk around the city and town and do whatever he wants. And probably at some point he just heads back, sleeps there, and probably gets to do it again the next day. And I don't understand that. Because life sentence is a life sentence to me.
Yeah.
Which is really weird because now he's in his early 60s. He is spry.
Yeah.
He is young. He's eating all of his greens.
Good for him.
And he's alive and well. He's alive and well. And he gets time out. He has a life sentence for murder. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
And maybe this is a special circumstance thing because they don't think he's a risk to the public. And I don't really think he is.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like it anyway, but if his philosophy changed, he totally could be. Oh, like, yeah. If he was like, I don't mind if they're consenting. Like,
yeah, that's different.
That's kind of a fine line thing.
Well, and I'll say, too, it does seem like his whole life he's had this sort of... And I'm going to say this not in an insult way. I mean, he's had kind of this meager approach his whole life. And I think that's good, especially for something like this, where it comes at the cost of somebody else. It comes at the expense of their well-being, their life in this case, their actual physical body. They're giving everything they can give to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that he's previously looked for someone to give it. He didn't look to take it. But that being said, I think what I have a difficult time with, and I know, like, I'm getting hung up on a lot of logistics. I think part of it is I just have a really hard time picturing all of this because I have no foot in this race. This door has not even been cracked open for me. Like,
like, I didn't know that door was a door until somebody told me it was a door, and, like, I've never seen it before, and I don't go to that part of town.
Exactly. Exactly. So part of that is so foreign to me, it's really hard to wrap my head around. Part of it is coming off of last week. Anything feels lighter than that, even though I know this came with very real grave consequences. But also, I think that what's really interesting to me is really the policy side of this, that they were able to say, never mind on the 8.5, whoops, 2 years into it.
Yeah, which is crazy to me. And I'm sure you can argue of whether or not you think he should be given a life sentence for this. I'm sure that there are people on both sides of it. And I'm not even talking about what he deserves, but if we're going to call it a life sentence, it would be life. And that to me isn't plain clothes excursions and paying two officers to follow you around all day, and you get to be in a disguise so that nobody knows what you did. In my mind, my life sentence means something different.
Right. Well, and I think too that there's a part of me that really likes that if they're gonna go back and they're gonna change this and they're gonna say, okay, guy, never mind on the 8.5, whole life.
Maybe after the 8.5 you get to do these things. I mean,
right, that, like,
did you get to go to Disney? Like, what?
These knees.
Disney's.
But I think that it's so fascinating. And I have very little fear of him being out in the public.
Yeah, he's kind of like a sweet looking guy now. If you look at photos of him, he does not seem like, I don't know what you expect somebody to, who's right, literally eating a dick to look like, or eating 44 pounds of a man.
Wow.
That's a lot of meat.
That's a lot of meat. I wonder how much protein's in that.
I no idea. And I have no idea. Like, what percentage?
What's the macros on that?
Well, what percentage of your body, like, if he's just eating the meat, okay, this is gross. If he's just eating the meat and he's not eating the organs, which I'm assuming, yeah. I didn't see anything about organs. It wasn't like, I roasted the heart and did this. Right. Like, that wasn't it. But if you take all of those out, you subtract what your bones weigh,
which is about 80 something pounds, 80, 90.
Like, with whatever's left, he ate 44 pounds of that, which
seems like
almost all of him.
Yeah.
Like,
theoretically.
I'll say this. He left no scraps. He did not waste. He said, not here.
He said, this is an eco-conscious home.
Ridiculous.
I have so many feelings on this. Okay.
So, that's it. He's incarcerated, technically. Okay. He's allowed excursions, and he's alive and well as a happy vegetarian.
Well, okay. I'll just say, team vegetarian all the way. I will probably be renewing that membership soon, if you will. Better for your body. Usually better for the environment. But, like, wow. What a journey.
It's a head scratcher.
And the thing is, it's not sadistic. He wasn't doing it for the pleasure of his pain.
No, and he wasn't doing it as like a fucking, I've conquered you and this is the right, most devious thing I can think up to do to you. And it's not, I sacrificed you to the gods so right, that we might have a good crop season. And yeah, it's not any of those things.
We haven't landed in the Andes and now we're starving.
It's like purely, wholeheartedly, solely, I want to do this. He wants to do this. We've decided together we're going to do this.
And I wonder, you know, it's interesting because I was watching something on Dahmer the other day and they were talking about how he ate his victims as like, most people theorize that it was to be that dominant, to have that final dominance of like, I am consuming you.
Mm-hmm.
But some people thought about it and theorized that it's like to have a connection with someone, like he was so lonely that he wanted to be a part of them or for them to be a part of him or something like
that. And it was the only way he could be close to somebody.
And it reminds me of that in a way of like, I am so isolated and alone in these feelings and desires and wants. And here you are willing to help alleviate some of that for me. It's a very strange dynamic. I am so curious about the mental state of Brandes before.
I'm curious about the mental state of both of them at the time.
Both, certainly.
And what was interesting is, like, if you look at his case on face value, it's like murder for sexual gratification. I'm like, the man just literally ate every, like, was he getting sexually gratified breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Dessert too? Like, you know what I mean? When does that gratification come into play? Is that as you're eating it? Is it later when you think about having eaten it? Right. Is it just the fact that you killed him and that was gratifying at the time? Like, what is the, where does that gratification come in?
I'd be curious to know if it does at all now, or if that was really truly so wrapped up in that same corner of shame and secret in his brain as being gay was, that they sort of were conflated as one in the same.
Well, it's like, let's not confuse like being gay with like an actual problem.
But
for him, he was probably like, those things just were mutually exclusive. Like, maybe he didn't want to be with a man if he wasn't role-playing some kind of, like, I'm eating him thing.
It's possible. It's also just possible, too, that, like, as someone who identifies as queer on that spectrum, like, there is a lot of societal influence that's placed on how you view yourself. So whether or not he believed being gay was a problem. He might have had so much residual shame and guilt about it that his brain was just like, nope, under lock and key, like this thing. And that's how they sort of got put in the same room, if you will. Yeah. Not that they are both killing and eating people. That is not the same.
Right. But
that they both lived in that same compartmentalization.
Yeah.
It's so fascinating. I want to poke his brain. I want to study him like a little bug.
I'm sure you could write him.
Wow.
I know what Abby's doing this weekend. So that is the story of the Rotenburg cannibal.
Okay.
I would love to know everybody's thoughts.
I would love to hear everybody's thoughts.
I just want to hear it.
What? It's so... How? Who? What? When? Why?
It is so far out of anything I've ever considered, thought of, imagined myself in a situation like that. It's fascinating to me because I'm like, I can't relate to this at all.
No, and let alone something I've considered where I was like, oh, and you know what? What if both parties were into it?
Like I cannot imagine, like I lay with my fiance and I'll like just bite his arm because, you know, I don't know why, because I just want to. And that's the extent.
It's a nibble.
That's the extent of that. I don't know why I do it, but I do it. And I'm going to do it again. And I'll do it tonight.
I do it in my cat's ear. I'll like give it a little.
And that is.
And it's not hard. It's not like painful. It's just me being like, love
and if you
so
ask
much,
me why, I don't know.
You're so cute. I could eat you up.
I just had to.
But I couldn't eat him up. You know?
But I would feel so bad if I even left a mark. Like, I don't want to do that.
Right.
And I certainly don't want to eat it. Ew.
No. Oof.
Ew, I don't want to eat any person. Ew.
No, you barely want to eat chicken.
Like, literally. Like, I'm such a picky eater that I'm like, no.
No.
Like, imagine. No.
I'm not that picky of an eater, but I cannot. I have such a small window for things that were once alive.
Well, I am a picky eater, and I shan't be doing that. No. So.
This is, well, thank you for sharing this.
No, you're welcome.
So can I ask you, was the Cannibal Cafe, was that like the recipes that he made?
That was just the website that he had. That was like a forum thing that he had, which again, it's taken down, but you can, other websites have like snippets of parts of it. So you can still see some of it, but what a name. Like if somebody in that part of Germany was like, let's piss some people off. Let's make a cafe.
Yeah.
And it's all... And it's a cannibal cafe and everything looks like
human meat.
Yeah.
That'd be
But
disgusting.
It's all pastry with just like fondant and
fondant.
Fondant. How do you say it?
Fondant.
Fondant. Oh, I heard one person say, damn it.
You're like, my croissant and fondant.
My croissant is the liaison to my fondant.
Sorry, we do love French people. That's not to make fun of you. That's to make fun of us. But
oh,
wee wee.
He did. He ate that.
And he said,
mm-mm. He said, yum.
Bienvenue. No. Wow. Well, thank you for sharing.
You're very welcome.
Thanks to Brandis for sharing, I think.
He did. He was a giver in every way.
Truly a giver.
His poor wife, too. She's like, I wasn't. Didn't hate the guy. He had to fucking...
Yeah, it's just like, I wasn't down to clown like that, but...
But dang, you didn't have to die, man.
Well, okay, so if you wanted to see the people or the places or things involved in this, you could do so at our Instagram account. That would be at About Time for True Crime Pod, with periods in between every words. That is ABOUT period, TIME period, FOR period, TRUE period, CRIME period, POD, because podcast was too long. But after you'd gone there and like followed us and liked a few things, maybe left a comment or a review, something like that, something good, you could certainly email us all of your thoughts, feelings, opinions. Please, I am begging you, don't send us Cannibal Cafe recipes. That was not a request. Do send us how you feel, your pod pets. Any hopes, dreams, thoughts you might have that aren't related to eating people. Allie, where could they do that?
If you wanted to do any of those things and more, you could email us at abouttime4tc@gmail.com. So that's ABOUTTIME, numeric4tc@gmail.com. We love you. We love to hear from you. And we hope you continue to rate, review, download, tell a friend, tell a family member.
Have we asked for that lately?
Acquaintance, do all the things. It makes us want to keep doing this.
It does. And we love y'all so much. But if I do look at my clock, that was
about time for true crime.
Yummy.
Ding ding. Soup's on.